Now, Miniature Masterpieces, 100 Years of Irish Stamps, is a joint exhibition between An Post and the National Print Museum that celebrates a century of postage stamps in Ireland. The exhibition is open now at the National Print Museum. And joining us in studio to tell us all about it is the curator of the exhibition, Stephen Ferguson. Hello, Stephen.
Hello, Ray.
That's not your official title. Your official title is...
I am
Company Archivist.
Company Archivist.
That's it.
Yep.
And you're also the curator of the exhibition.
That's right.
That's
yep.
it. And we've spoken before when Sinead was down there and I met you in the GPO as well. This is very exciting because it's a history of Ireland through stamps.
It is. The idea is that when we were coming to the end of the decade of centenaries, I thought that if we took the little bits of paper that we put on our envelopes and if we looked at them a little bit more closely, you'd actually be able to see the way Ireland has developed over the last 100 years. Yeah. Because it shows our history, our culture, the things we're proud of, sometimes maybe the things that we'd like to be rather than the way we actually are. So I thought I'd get in touch with the print museum because they're obviously interested in the printing and design side of things. And we worked together to produce this little exhibition, Miniature Masterpieces, which is on show in the print museum and will run until beginning of May, I hope.
So the first Irish stamp was sort of a leftover from our connection with Great Britain.
That's right. Yeah. As soon as we became independent in 1922, the boss of the post office at the time, he was a man who had actually started his career in Cork as a post office clerk. So he was aware of the power of stamps. So he said, I'll organise a competition, but in the meantime, I want to get the permission of the British authorities to overprint the ordinary British stamps, which had King George on them,
right,
and overprint them in Irish. So that was agreed to. The King, King George at the time, was a very keen stamp collector. And I think he was happy enough for his head to be overprinted in Irish as long as he got some copies of the stamps for his own collection. So
They were different.
Because they were different.
Yeah, yes,
so
yes.
They agreed. Great. They agreed. And what was
overprinted on his face?
We had the words Rialtas Shaladoc Naharan, 1922. So Provisional Government of Ireland, 1922. That was put onto all these British stamps at the time. And they were printed very quickly, printed by a couple of different firms in Dublin. And if you go to the exhibition, you'd be able to see the slight differences in printing that was there, because there's always little differences and little flaws that stamp collectors like to look at.
Mm.
So they were the first ones, as you say, a little bit of a leftover from previous times.
Yes.
But they served the purpose very quickly.
Okay. And then this national competition for the design of the first official Irish stamp.
That's right. The Postmaster General, Mr. Walsh, as he was, he advertised in the papers for a public competition for people to come up with some ideas for what could go on our new stamps. So the winners were to get £25, big amount of money at the time, and they were to restrict themselves to designs of a symbolic nature.
Right.
So you had a lot of designs coming in with shamrocks, with wolfhounds, with round towers, with a woman representing Ireland. These were the ideas. A few people disregarded the instructions. One man sent in a picture of Michael Collins. It was struck out. Somebody else managed to put in King George still on a stamp. That was struck out as well. So there was about 800 entries.
Right.
Very big, very successful competition. And from that, then, the four successful designs for our first set of ordinary permanent stamps, they were selected from that.
Now, were the designs, were they drawn by these people or were they notional? Do you know what I'm saying? Were they saying a map of Ireland or were they drawing a map of Ireland?
No, people submitted actual designs.
Actual designs,
so that,
right.
Some of them were by noted artists and experienced people in the art and graphic world. Others were simply put in by ordinary people,
right,
who had an idea.
Okay.
And they almost drew them on an envelope or something and sent them in. So there was a big range of skill and interpretation there.
Okay. And those four were, one of them was a map of Ireland.
The map of Ireland was the one, a very clear symbol of independence. There was the Sword of Light, or on Clive Sulish, which is a sign of resurgence in Irish mythology. There was the Arms of the Four Provinces. So you had, you know, Munster, Leinster, Connacht and Ulster. And you also had a Celtic cross design, which, interestingly enough, had been used before independence on a Sinn Féin propaganda label. And Arthur Griffith, who was the man chairing the selection committee, he knew the artist for that stamp, and he wanted the Celtic cross to feature in right. some form on a final Irish stamp design.
Was that fair?
I think it was by a lady called Lily Williams, who was a very well-known portrait artist right. at the time. So I think she would have been up there in the running without a little bit of extra help.
And interestingly, the map of Ireland had no border.
That was something which was a little bit controversial at the time. It was a nice idea and a clear idea to show Irish independence. Technically, I think it was correct because I don't think the border had quite come into effect, or Northern Ireland hadn't said it didn't want to be part of the new southern state. But it was perhaps a little bit provocative, and there was a little bit of controversy at the time over that.
Now, how long did those four stay in place?
Nearly 50 years.
Okay,
they were around for ages, so that anybody of my age will remember these stamps pretty well because they lasted a very long time. And
so when did the fashion or the trend of changing them quite frequently and maybe including things, cultural things, pop cultural things, when did that start?
That is really, it's the difference between the ordinary everyday stamps, which are on sale all the time,
yes.
and the special or commemorative uh-huh. stamps.
Right.
So the first special one was one issued in 1929 for Daniel O'Connell. It was the centenary of Catholic emancipation, very important event in Irish history. So there's a portrait of O'Connell on three stamps, and they were the first special ones. So that, right.
And then it became a thing, I suppose, the fact that King George was on the British stamp, so we were honouring our own heroes,
yes,
and that became a thing. And so all the greats had stamps, did they?
Yeah, and anybody... generally speaking, up until very recently, you had to be dead.
right.
Now, that's changed in recent years. But I suppose the idea was that your contribution to Ireland and Irish culture or Irish history or Irish nationality had to be assessed carefully.
Who did this assessing?
There was a committee, right. as there always is. And in the early days, there was a selection committee which looked at ideas for Irish stamps. And then they would go to the government then for final approval. And then there was also another committee which looked at the artistic side of stamps, so that there were well-known people like Jack Yeats or Sean Keating, George Atkinson. These were eminent artists at the time, so that there were clever, knowledgeable and distinguished people who were assisting the post office in deciding what stamps should be produced and how they should be produced.
And were people aware that, I suppose, there was although it'd be very small, there were a shop window to the world because these stamps were on letters that were going all over the world and people were seeing them. And I suppose people, were they or were they not thinking, this is saying something about us, what we think about ourselves?
Exactly. That's very important. And it's something that people forget about, because if you think of things like our banknotes or our coinage, when we had our own stuff before,
yes.
it's all euros, they were only used within our country.
Uh-huh.
But stamps went to every corner of the globe and they said something about how we saw ourselves as Irish people. So you'd have famous Irish sportsmen, literary people, distinguished patriots, and religion was quite important in the early days. There was a lot of emphasis on Ireland as a
land. Did John Charles McQuaid, did he get a stamp?
Well, he hasn't got a stamp so far.
Has he not?
No,
right.
he hasn't.
Right.
But there were others who probably did deserve stamps as well. So gradually, as we became more outward looking from, say, the 1970s onwards, we began to put more emphasis on honouring people throughout the world who had made a big contribution to things.
Irish people or non-Irish
people? And some foreign
okay.
people.
So who non-Irish people? Who?
Well, say somebody like Mahatma Gandhi, for
right.
instance, back
yeah.
in the late 1960s, there were two stamps issued for him. John F. Kennedy, now, very strong Irish connection,
mm-hmm.
and also a stamp there that would be emphasising the connection between Ireland and America.
Important.
And him as the first Catholic president of America, that was something that was important too.
Mm-hmm.
So stamps solidified connections between countries and they accentuated our own sense of nationality and identity.
Mm. So a lot of the special ones have honoured people like Phil Lynott and other artistic people over the years. I'm wondering, is it something that On Post would be interested in? Because it's a huge thing, isn't it, to have your face on a stamp?
It's very important. And as I said, in recent years, live people have been honoured
yes,
on stamps as well.
And honour is the word there. And I'm just thinking, because we don't have an honours list in this
no.
country.
it's
like, and you know, the stamp of the state that, that this could be a thing, couldn't it?
Yeah, no, it's something which it's not official policy or anything like that, but it is an honour to be featured on the stamp, as it is an honour for an artist or a designer
to design
a stamp for Ireland as well.
Yes,
yeah. So you're right, we don't have any honours system, but if you have done something for the country, you have a reasonable expectation at some stage, perhaps, of featuring on a stamp.
And the I suppose the act of designing a stamp is a particular skill because it's so small.
That's why I wanted to call this exhibition Miniature Masterpieces, because people forget just how hard it is to design and draw something at postage stamp size, half an inch, couple of centimetres at most, so that somebody like Michael Craig is an artist who he did a lot of architectural stamps for us, and he designed these at actual postage stamp size.
Right.
So his eyesight and his skill in actually doing a building is amazing.
He didn't do a big one and he did
no.
it. Wow.
No. I mean, very often they're done at maybe four or five times and then reduced.
Yeah.
His technique, he was able to do it, was to do it at stamp size.
Now, an Irishman, I don't know if he had a stamp in his honour, but he was hugely important in the development of stamps worldwide. This man,
yes,
Henry Archer.
Henry Archer. Henry Archer, we're going back to the middle of the 19th century. Yeah. And the very first stamps, I put one here just in the album here, was a penny black. People will remember that.
Yes.
The first English stamp. But it had to be cut from the sheet of stamps with a scissors or a knife, so that you'd get sort of very jagged edges, and it wasn't a good system. Henry Archer was a businessman in Dublin and an entrepreneur in many ways, and he came up with the idea of applying perforations to stamps. There were perforations for other things, but nobody had thought of using them for stamps. So he sold his idea to the post office as a prototype for something like £4,000 back in 1855 or thereabouts. Mm. And from then on, you can easily separate your stamps without tearing them.
He didn't get a stamp in his honour.
He hasn't so far.
I love the way you say he hasn't so far. Now the initial official stamp was the result of a competition. Have on post done many competitions over the years?
There have been occasional competitions over the years. The ones that were introduced in 1922, as I said, stayed for about 50 years.
Yes.
Then there was another competition, an international competition, which really was only open to established artists, international artists.
Right.
And a German designer won that particular competition. And there were stylized Celtic animals introduced on stamps. That was his idea. Children's art has been another one. There have been competitions run, and children's artwork has been judged, and the best ones have been shown on maybe Christmas stamps or things like that. So occasionally there are still competitions.
Yeah. Are we ready for another big one?
I think we at the moment, I'm watching the stamps carefully, because so many people don't send letters anymore.
Mm.
They don't buy stamps anymore. Yeah. And we can't change the way the world is going. But I hope that people will continue to use them and appreciate these little treasures.
But one way of generating interest in stamps and letter sending is to do a big competition.
Yes.
Is it not?
Yes, no, it is. We can certainly think about that. At the moment, the way things work is if the artistic committee, which looks at stamps, if there's a particular subject, they may know a designer or a group of artists who are skilled in that particular field.
Yeah.
And they will invite them to submit possible designs for a stamp like that.
I just like the whole throwing it out to everybody, in the 1920s.
Well, that has its merits.
It does,
you and I might get successful on that point.
Yeah. Do you have a favourite?
I like some particular stamps from 1940s to 1960s. We issued one small set of stamps specially to send on airmail letters, and they were very nicely designed and very nicely printed. And I like them because they combine a sense of Irishness. They have an angel going over various landmarks in Ireland, like Loch Derg, Glenloch, the Rock of Cashel. But the artistic and cultural element, it also has a little bit of good marketing there, because these were going abroad and they were showing beauty spots in Ireland at the same time.
Like a little lad. For Port Fulcher.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you mentioned earlier on that people who collect stamps are looking out for mistakes, and they're the ones that are worth the most money.
Yes.
Is there any over the years from Ireland?
Yes, there are. I mean, fortunately, we don't make too many mistakes, but occasionally there are some. I can think of one just off the top of my head. There was one going back to the 1970s when we issued a stamp for the Bicentenary of American Independence. And that had a picture of Benjamin Franklin, the famous American patriot, and postmaster, I should add, in America. But there was a little bit of silver missing from his particular stamp. So I have that one in the exhibition in the print museum.
How much is that worth?
Well, you would be able to buy yourself a modest holiday.
All right,
a modest holiday for that.
If you had it. And just as stamps are less popular, I suppose collecting stamps is less popular as well.
It is less popular in the days when you and I were young. We maybe collected them and swapped them with our friends. Mm. Nowadays, it tends to be more older people, but they are still there because if people have an interest in a subject, whether it's music or art or sport, they can buy the stamps that relate to that and collect them.
Okay, yeah. Now, miniature masterpieces will run at the National Print Museum in Dublin until May 2024. It's well worth a visit. And the exciting thing is that you have the facility there for people to design their own stamp.
I do. We have, with the help of some digital experts and technological people, I have one little computer where you can look at all the stamps we've ever issued, and the other one you can try your hand at designing a stamp within a certain template. You can add the value, you can add the colour, and you can add area into it. So it gives you an idea of what's involved.
Yeah, well, and the next logical step, Stephen, is that there will be a national competition to design a stamp. Anyway,
I'll look into that as soon as I go back to GBO.
Stephen Ferguson, company archivist with An Post. Thanks so much for coming in and good luck with the exhibition. Thank you.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.